Good. So let's actually get started on the session. We're hitting the hour or a quarter to five. It is actually pretty late on the day two of the build, and it's good to see that many people still on the room. So in this session, we're going to talk about the SharePoint framework and SharePoint development topics. My name is Vesa Juvonen. I'm a senior program manager from Microsoft. I work in a team responsible of the SharePoint framework and the development platform. So all of the REST and CSAM and APIs and customization stories are coming from our team. I'm personally also responsible of the open source and community work on SharePoint. So on the GitHub and the stories and videos and guidance and everything else, that's what I do quite a lot for living as well. You might have actually heard about the PMP and SharePoint PMP. Those are the things that I run and actually started by like 5 years ago already. So today, what we're going to talk about is around the SharePoint development topic. So in build, Office is always kind of, well, Office is never ever the number one thing in build, because build is more around the .NET and Microsoft and Windows development. But Office and SharePoint has a development story as well. So we're going to go through what is the latest and greatest on the SharePoint development story. I'm going to start with an introduction for a purpose. Last year, me and my manager at the time, we actually jumped directly into the SharePoint framework, and then we got a lot of feedback saying, well, I didn't quite understand what is a SharePoint framework and what is this new modern SharePoint. So we want to make sure that everybody is on the same table. And then we move into the what is actually latest and greatest, what's the cool stuff, and there's few announcements coming up on the session as well. So there is new stuff coming in here as well. This morning, we actually showed in our monthly community call, we showed SharePoint and Teams enterprise development model already. You might have actually heard some rumors about that one, and or if you dropped by in the SharePoint booth earlier today, you might have actually seen that one. There's still new cool stuff coming up today. So let's actually get ongoing on these things. Before we actually go to the development thing, let's talk about the momentum and let's talk about the size of SharePoint. Obviously, in Office 365, we have now 135 million monthly active users, which is a huge number. The SharePoint is actually a massive, massive part of that usage. So we have 300,000 organizations using monthly SharePoint or OneDrive. You might have actually wondered, why do we tie in always SharePoint and OneDrive? Technically, inside of the Microsoft, it is nowadays the same team. So ODSP, OneDrive, and SharePoint, we're as part of the same organization. But there's 300,000 organizations using SharePoint and OneDrive. 85% use SharePoint of Fortune 500 companies are using SharePoint and OneDrive, and there's more than 1 million SharePoint developers out there. It's fair to say that many of those developers are actually still in on-premises, and some are partly in the cloud, because SharePoint has its roots in on-premises. We started back in 2001. SharePoint has existed until 2007, 2008, only in on-premises. Then it moved to the cloud, and it has its own, let's say, quirks due to these historical reasons. But there's plenty of people who've been within our journey from, let's say, starting from 2007 of SharePoint, up until these days. And it's interesting to see the new excitement around the SharePoint when we have started releasing the modern experiences and the new development models where people are actually interested and excited to learn. Now, from a SharePoint perspective, there will be a SharePoint conference coming up in 2 weeks where we will have plenty of additional announcements and capabilities. In this session, I just want to let you know beforehand, we're going to concentrate really on the development topics. So SharePoint framework and how to customize SharePoint. So I'm kind of assuming that you are a developer, not an end user of SharePoint, which I think it's fair because it's build session. So that should be pretty much given. Now, when we talk about the SharePoint, especially for us in the SharePoint engineering, the areas where we are investing right now is the modern SharePoint. Obviously, there is the historical SharePoint, which we actually haven't modified that much. Like 2013 was a classic SharePoint implementation. 2016 didn't actually have that much new from a UI perspective. In SharePoint Online, you're seeing more and more about pieces which are getting completely modernized. And with modernization, we need native responsiveness, we need fluent UIs, we need customizations, which you can actually implement in a controlled way as well. So moving away from this model where SharePoint has random JavaScripts here and there, embedded here and there, nobody's controlling that. That's part of the transition, what we want to do with SharePoint framework and the modern SharePoint experiences. But at the same time, concentrate on the beauty, concentrate on making the SharePoint as the pages and portal platform in the Microsoft. Now, those are native out-of-the-box capabilities all. There's a native authoring capabilities, so you can easily create powerful and beautiful looking pages. There's the VisiVook editors in the modern experiences as well. There's plenty of other cool stuff in these UIs. There's plenty of web parts. There is actually quite a lot of web parts already in the modern experiences, but we do know and acknowledge that we need to still give you more. Because we're missing some critical pieces which we used to have in the classic SharePoint. And more of those announcements around, for example, modern web parts and more web parts will be available in the SBC within 2 weeks in Las Vegas. So I'm not going to concentrate what are the new web parts which are coming, but the key point to understand is that there's a new ways of adding and extending SharePoint, and you can absolutely have your customizations and web parts available within the native SharePoint web part pickers as well. In the SharePoint, also, we're gradually introducing the modern admin center. And the reason why I'm walking through a few slides around this modern SharePoint experiences is that quite often developers, especially in SharePoint, are now asking that, well, back in 2010, you introduced us a sandbox solution model. Back in 2013, you said, well, sandbox solution, nah, I don't know. Please use SharePoint add-ins. And now you're saying SharePoint framework. So every single 3 to 4 years, you come back and say, you have a new model, which developers should be learning. With SharePoint framework, it's actually completely different. The reason why it's different is that we in engineering, we use SharePoint framework to build all of the modern experiences as well. So we bet our future on SharePoint framework. And you as a developer have exactly the same capabilities and extensibility points and access to our APIs as we have as a first party developers. And that's a really game changer in the history of the SharePoint. So if you're wondering that, should I actually learn the new ways of using SharePoint, the answer is absolutely. Because this is not going to go away as long as we have SharePoint in Office 365. And that's going to be a long, long, long time based on the usage and adoption of what we're seeing right now. Now, just to quickly show this one in practice before we go to the actual technical demo, let me flip to my demo environment here. And this is just to show you that it's no longer looking like a classic SharePoint before we go to the development news and announcements and all of those cool stuff as well. So this is a modern SharePoint site. So I'm going to refresh just to make sure that everything is fine on the page. It is fluent. There's plenty of web parts. There's functionalities available within this page. There's plenty of out-of-the-box web parts available on the page. For example, native support for streaming, native support for obviously for all of the file types, and plenty of other web parts which are available. Integration with Yammer, Twitter, YouTube, you name it. So there's plenty of web parts available. Now, if we have a look on the modern UIs, everything is obviously and natively also responsive. So I can actually take the screen and, for example, change the width, and it's adapting directly on the wide of the device. And flipping the screen or the content in an understandable format if this would be a mobile device. If we start creating a content in the modern SharePoint, let's create a new news. Let's keep it a, or let's actually modify the page or image slightly. You can see that the SharePoint and the modern SharePoint is much more fluent. And what I mean with the fluent, not necessarily the right term because I'm actually from engineering, not from marketing, but it doesn't do postbacks. It doesn't do modifications all the time. I can modify the page. I can add modifications on the page. I can select what kind of layouts or functionalities are in the page without refreshing the page. So it's a modern, it's a fluent experience. As an example, so I can do a file viewer here. I can easily pick the vacation policies as an example as a file. Let's add something in here. What could it be? Let's add a Twitter web part. That could be a good example. And in the Twitter web parts, we can configure also the settings of the web parts, whatever we want to have, and modify what's actually happening, save that, and publish that. And we have a new page available within SharePoint using the modern experiences. And if you compare this experience to a, let's say, a classic SharePoint experience, it's quite different because we didn't do any postback, we didn't do reloads of the page, we didn't do confirm apply, we just, it's a modern experience when you're creating content and writing content. I mean, what's cool about this one is that everything what you see here, for example, the Twitter red part and the experiences here, is for you as a developer available. So you can, you have the similar kind of a property panes. You have the similar kind of a controls in the property panes. There's even open source controls which you can take advantage to enhance these property panes and experiences what your web part is having. So there's no, let's say, a different story how Microsoft builds SharePoint comparing what you can build. You can actually build everything what you see here as a customization if you want. And that's a really cool story as well. Now, let's go back on the slides because obviously this isn't about the, just the UI. This is more around the customizations and the extensibility of the SharePoint online. So back in slides, and let's move into a few slides from a marketing perspective and then more on the new capabilities. So one of the things what we've also seen is that there's, or what we want to mention, obviously, is that there are plenty of partners building with SharePoint. So these are just good examples of a partners which we've been using since last Ignite as the reference partners. So Valo Intranet and Powell 365 are both providing a modern experiences-based solutions on SharePoint. So if you are a classic, let's say, an ISV provider or a classic SharePoint house, there is actually a future for you as well. So we want to partner with you and the ISVs to be able to be successful on extending the SharePoint. None of this is going to go away. And these are just good examples of partners who've jumped early on the train, and they've moved their products already on the modern experiences. But there is absolutely opportunities for other partners as well. There's just a two fellows who've been pretty close to our story. Now, quickly, one high-level slide, still, if you're not super familiar with SharePoint. Obviously, SharePoint has a lot of UI elements. It has a lot of out-of-the-box capabilities. It actually has really great site experiences available for page creation and site management. It has processes and workflow, meaning Flow and Power Apps and all of those things natively available to support your deployment and the end-user customizations. There's integrated tooling on that. There's business application like Power Apps available within the SharePoint experiences. Now, in the platform side, we are heading more and more to the direction where the user interface is natively built using the SharePoint framework. So SharePoint framework is around the user interface, and that's really the experience what the end-users are having. Then the SharePoint framework is using either a Microsoft Graph or REST APIs, hitting the SharePoint data and doing whatever is needed on the SharePoint side. Potentially, you could use the Power Apps as the user experience as well, but that's more, let's say, information worker, whatever that term is nowadays, whatever the information worker is probably is the, you know what is an information worker, right? People are nodding. Good. Yeah. Now, SharePoint framework, REST APIs on a SharePoint is the native way. Microsoft Graph is growing all the time. We do have within the SharePoint, we do have a slightly different authentication model. And there are reasons why the Microsoft Graph cannot be accessed maybe as easily as from a custom application. But I'll explain that one when we get to the Microsoft Graph section. But there is a really powerful REST APIs. The SharePoint REST API is actually, I think it's still bigger than the Microsoft Graph API from a just pure properties and the method perspective. So it's a massive. On the other hand, we want you to use more and more Microsoft Graph because that's a standardized API surface, not only for SharePoint, but also for other applications as well. Now, let's get actually on the cool stuff and the new stuff. So let's actually go through some of the areas where we are introducing now new capabilities and announcing new capabilities. Now, this isn't technically new. The SharePoint framework and Microsoft Graph, the preview of this one was announced or got available on the mid-February. So we do have a way of calling any Graph API securely from SharePoint framework solutions. The key point of this one, however, is that SharePoint is a slightly different fellow than your single-page application which would be running in Azure. In your single-based application, it's only you and your application. In SharePoint, it's your app web parts, and there might be other web parts on the page as well. And do these things, we need to actually increase the trust and the authorization of these web parts. And that means that we need to actually have a centralized control for the tenant administrator to agree what are the APIs for Microsoft Graph which are getting exposed for SharePoint Framework. And that's essentially the additional layer what has been now built on top of SharePoint Online. So when you are deploying a SharePoint Framework solution, you're able to request additional scopes to be exposed for SharePoint Framework, and then administrator will need to approve them. And this is just to make sure, I'm going to repeat that. The reason for that centralized control is the fact that SharePoint is much more agile. You can have multiple ISV solutions in a single page. What if one ISV solution actually takes credit of the other ISV solution's JavaScript code? So we want to have this additional control, making sure that these kind of violations do not happen. The same API and the same thing supports also calling third-party web APIs, which are hosted in Azure, as for example, Azure Functions, in a secure way. So from a JavaScript in the SharePoint framework, you can securely call a third-party web API or an Azure function, which is in Azure, which is then accessing, for example, your LOB data. Technically, what happens within the Microsoft Graph and SharePoint framework usage is about somewhat following. So the administrator basically configures or approves the set of scopes which are available for SharePoint framework customizations. So administrator basically makes the decision, tenant administrator makes the decision that within our tenant, it is fine to access people's email or people's calendar. That's fine because we trust the applications which are running within our tenant. Then when we have a client-side web part, it actually can get the access token without any additional steps and HTTP calls, anything else, as long as it's using the SharePoint framework APIs from Azure Active Directory to then call, for example, a web API, third-party web API, or a Graph API. The needed code for this one is actually only a few lines of code after the tenant administrator has approved the needed scope. So super simple process, but again, we have that administrative permission layer, which is making sure that there's only needed scopes available and approved scope available within that tenant. Now, let's actually have a quick look on this one in practice and how does that actually look like if from a SharePoint Online side. So let me share my screen from this side. And we have our demo environment here available. Let me actually flip and sign out from this tenant. And let me actually jump to another tenant. There we go, signed out. And let's move to another tenant, which we're going to use as our demo environment. So signing into the tenant. There we go. And let's have a look on the story in practice. Now, in this particular tenant, we have already deployed our relatively large solution. But in the solution, when the developer creates the SharePoint framework solution, you can define, let me slightly increase the zoom, you can define what are the scopes which you need to have permissions within your SharePoint framework solution. In this particular case, this particular solution, which I'll come back on slightly later, has requirements for Microsoft Graph scopes called sites read all, contacts read, user read all, and mail read, and calendar read. So basically, the developer knows what are the scopes which the web parts need to have access. And when this solution is then getting deployed, let's actually have a look on that one. When the solution is getting deployed, we automatically extract that information from the SPPKJ file, basically SharePoint framework solution file, and we ask then the administrator to grant those permissions using the API management functionality in SharePoint admin UIs. So in the SharePoint admin UIs, the modern SharePoint admin UIs, I'm going to zoom in slightly in a second, you can actually then see what are the pending approvals for certain permissions for SharePoint framework to get access, or what are the approved permissions and scopes for SharePoint framework to have to be able to use in SharePoint in practice. Now, in this case, we have a pending approval for group.read.all, And then what are the approved permissions is user read basic, there's conduct reads, user read all, and calendar read, and mail read, and so on. So basically this means that if you have a SharePoint framework web part, which is now hitting a Microsoft Graph endpoint within those allowed scopes, the code is allowed to actually execute and it's able to access that information. Within a code side of the accessing that, that API, we have encapsulated this using the Microsoft Graph JavaScript library. So this is as easy as calling following. So let me actually hide that one. And here's an example where we actually are using the Microsoft Graph client, which is in SharePoint framework. We're saying that we're hitting the me.messages version 1.0, not the beta one. And we're selecting the body preview, receive data, and view additional settings from the messages. So you're basically using this native SharePoint framework Graph client, and you don't have to worry about access tokens or anything like that. All of that plumbing is taken care of for you. So we're making this as easy as possible in TypeScript. So as long as you use this, you don't have to do any HTTP dance, getting the request tokens and acquire tokens and all of that. You'll just get access on the messages. So in this case, this was around personal email. So let's actually have a look on this functionality and experience in practice. So this is part of a larger larger solution, a reference solution, which will be published in SBC within 2 weeks. So I'm not going to actually publish, we're not going to share this immediately today. We still need to worry about a polish of certain things. But in that solution, if I add a page on this portal where the right permissions have been granted, I'm going to get rid of that header section. Let's call this, for example, me. And let's add a section with the 3 columns. And let's add a web part in here, which is called personal. All of these 4 web parts are available because I deployed that solution to my tenant. So for example, I can do something like personal contacts. So we dynamically go and hit the Microsoft Graph endpoint and get access on my personal contacts. In this case, this is a demo environment, so there's only 3 persons in a contact, but you can actually then configure, for example, for this web part, how many contacts you would like to see, and those are the contacts which you most frequently access because that is one of the endpoints in a Microsoft Graph. The second example could be something like you want to have an intranet welcome page, which is around you or me. That's your landing page of every single morning. So we could also have here personal tasks or personal email. Apparently, I don't quite understand this, but personal email is one of those things what all of the customers apparently are always asking to have a custom web part. I really don't understand why would you need to have personal email listed on the intranet, but apparently that's what customers are asking, and quite a lot of people are nodding in the audience. And then you can also have, for example, my personal tasks, and these web parts are part of a larger hero solution, like mentioned, which I'll talk slightly later on today's talk. But here's the 3 web parts, which are then hitting the SharePoint Graph endpoint from SharePoint framework with a simple JavaScript or TypeScript implementation, and you can then see your upcoming tasks, your personal contacts, your 5 of your personal emails. Obviously, if needed, you can always go to view an additional full list of things, and then you will be redirected to a planner or an email or a contacts or whatever. But simple scenarios, and these web parts do not have that much of a code. You will get access on all of this code later. No point for me to actually walk through the code right now because you can't remember, and this is the last session of the day, so you can't remember the code anyway, so all good. Hopefully you'll remember that this is super exciting and you'll get back on these examples slightly later when you get your hands on them rather than me trying to teach you how to implement them. Now, that's the Graph endpoint. Super simple to get access, centralized control from SharePoint admin. What are the scopes which are available? And when that's available, the API calls from TypeScript are super simple. You can just hit the endpoint. As long as the permission is there, you get access on the information, and voila. And somebody might be wondering, hey, so what are the scopes, what I can ask? Answer is anything. Whatever are the scopes within the Microsoft Graph, you can actually get access on those information in SharePoint Framework super easily using the scope model. But we want to have that centralized control and admin approval for the tenant administrator. Now, back on slides. There's quite a lot to talk about, so I'm sorry for my speed, and hopefully you can feel or stay with me on this presentation. So moving on to new stuff. SharePoint Framework 1.5, coming up soon. And I do apologize, many of these things will be available soon. But in SharePoint Framework 1.5, we actually concentrate more on, how would I put it, general improvements and bug fixing and certain other really fundamental things in SharePoint. So starting from SharePoint 1.5, we will separate what is preview code and experimental code and what is actually ready for production. So all of the things what you will see pretty soon today, which is the new stuff, experimental stuff, the beta stuff, will be actually in a separate set of NPM packages. And then all of the stuff which is ready to be used in production will be in a separate set of NPM packages. So you as a developer, you don't have to worry about, okay, is this functionality now ready to go to production usage or not? It depends on which of the NPM packages you're actually using within your code. So it will be 1.5 is the official GA ready version. And then we'll have 1.5 plus add-ons. I can't remember what was the decision around the label in the NPM, but the thinking is that it's 1.5 plus the add-ons, the experimental stuff. And you can use that already to test and investigate what's coming, what's available after the 1.5, closer to 1.6. We don't want to call the experimental branch as a beta or 1.6 beta, because it might be that something what will be available for you to play around will not ship on the following version. So that's why it's 1.5 plus add-ons and experimental stuff. But there will be more and more stuff in the future, which we want to show you where we are heading, our thinking, so you will be ready whenever the actual capabilities will be available. Also, as part of the 1.5, we will start supporting Yarn and BNPM packaging managers. So you're able to then, if you prefer those and not use BNP, NPM, you can actually choose to use those as your packaging managers for NPM packages. And plenty of general improvements and bug fixes, which we're not going to actually list in here. But that doesn't feel like there's no excitement. There's nothing really I can sell with that one. So let's have a look on something really cool, which is coming up to preview or in the experimental branch quite soon. Global deployment of SharePoint Framework extensions. How many of you actually know what is a SharePoint Framework extension? Plenty of the audience, majority of the audience. So that's pretty cool. So SharePoint Framework extensions, SharePoint Framework has two different component types. One of the component types is a web part. Web part is kind of a web widgets. You can add those web parts on a page. You can remove them from a page. Extension is slightly different. The extension is something which is, remains on a page. It could be a placeholder. It could be a footer. It could be a header of the page. So it's not a web part which you can close or add or modify. It's something what the designer has decided to be placed on a page which provides an end-user experience. So it's a widget kind of still, but it's not something which you can close. And starting with 1.5 experimental builds, so pretty soon, we will have a preview of the global deployments of SharePoint Framework extension. So you're able to push out these UI JavaScript elements across your tenant from a centralized location. And you're able to configure those in practice. And at this point, everybody is like, yeah, I don't know what it means. Can we somehow clarify? Okay, let's have a look. First, an architectural architecture, and then live demo of this one, because this is actually super cool stuff as well. What we mean with that one is that within your SharePoint Framework solution, you could have a customization, which is providing a footer or a header to your SharePoint sites or the whole SharePoint tenant. You obviously want to have that footer or header in every single site, or you might not want to have, but pretty often you want. Now, starting with the global deployment, when this one is available, you're able to deploy entries to tenant-wide extension list. And I'll show this one in practice. But basically, as part of this, the solution package which we're shipping, you're able to say that this extension, which is inside of my package, I want it to be available in all of my communication sites, all of my collaboration sites, or all of my sites, without any additional configurations. And what it means is that when the end users are accessing the SharePoint sites, those extensions, which are configured to be available, will be automatically rendered as part of the pages, and you don't have to do any additional tricks or any additional things. There's a question coming up. Let me show this one in practice, and then we can go to the question quickly. So we dynamically load all of the extensions which are available from the centralized location to be available on the sites. But let's have a look on this one in practice so I can actually show what it means and how to make that happen. So let's flip to the demo machine. Here we go. And let's go to our environment. And in this case, we kind of use an EDOG environment, so I'm crossing my fingers this one will work without any problems, but it has been working pretty reliably since yesterday, so we'll see. Good. So this is EDOG environment, so super early. This is not in any of our production-ready tenants, but I want to show the functionality so you'll understand what's actually coming. So in this environment, we have already deployed a certain set of SPFX customizations or solutions. So if I go to my app catalog any minute now, we can actually see a certain set of applications which are available. And let's actually make sure that I'm able to get there. Okay, it's a white space. Cool. Hopefully this one will render. Oh, that's interesting. So let's actually test. It's always great timing for losing the demo at this point. Okay, that works. What about our, let me close that one and reload the whole thing. Ooh. That's actually as expected if you do a typo on the list because it is tenant-wide extensions. Come on, you can load. And you can't. This could be related on the oh, there it is. So it's just required some level of a refresh functionality. Okay. So as part of your SharePoint framework solution, you are able to configure this list automatically to be added. So this one is a list in the app catalog. And now I'm going to do this manually, so I'm not going to actually show you what's inside of the SPPK, the solution file to make this automatically as part of the deployment. But I'm going to basically mimic that process by adding an entry on this list manually. So in the tenant-wide extension, you're able to control, if I click to add a new item, what are the SharePoint framework extensions which are automatically getting deployed to your site. And you're able to also filter that extension to a certain web template or a certain list template. List template filtering basically is for list view command sets. You want to have a button of a list to be visible for document libraries, but not for custom lists. That's where the list template filtering would be valid. Or you want to have a field customizer in certain set of lists, but not on all of the lists. So in this case, we want to have, however, application customizer. We want to have a footer in every single page of our SharePoint Online tenant. So let's call this footer, and then I'm going to copy some magical things from my OneNote. This is basically the unique manifest ID of my custom footer, because I'm now mimicking that automation to happen manually. And for my custom footer, I'm able to also have a properties, and these are basically the modifying or the behavior of the extension which is getting rendered on the page. And then I need to say that this extension is going to be, well, it is an application customizer, so the location will be client-side extension.applicationCustomizer. And we can say a sequence 10. There would be additional application customizer, the sequence will define the order which they are being loaded on the site. So this entry, technically, in the future, you can still do this stuff manually, but this could be generated automatically inside of the SharePoint framework solution package. That's not really that interesting. It's an entry in a SharePoint list. What did it actually do, right? That's much more interesting. So let me go to a group site. And this is a group site, a normal group site. And if I load this group site now that we have the entry in the tenant-wide deployment list, we can actually see a small itsy bitsy extension getting rendered. It is a quite small render. It is a quite small extension, but I'll zoom in actually to show what's available. So if I zoom down, you can actually see that there's a contacts, legal policies, and tools rendered inside of my footer. And these are something which the tenant administrator, or let's say the organization administrator, can control from a taxonomy from a term set. So in this particular extension, which will be available for you as a sample, as an open source as well, people are able to control these links using term set, which is kind of cool. So the tenant administrator or the person can control what are the links which are will be visible for all of the end users. Quite typical requirement within the intranet. What this also actually has is edit my links on this right side. So if I click to edit my links, this is actually a set of my personal links using this extension, which is now available within the site. So let me actually add a few links here. Let's call this build and HTTP. I have no idea what is our address, msbuild.com. Hopefully that's the right one. I have no idea. Let's call this my important site, and let's add an entry on that one as well. Microsoft.com, adding that one, and let's actually add one more just to show visually the three different entries. So let's call this search and HTTP and Bing.com. There we go. So I'm adding three personal links which I want to be now visible for me. And that means that they're getting now saved. You can see that green bar getting visible there. And suddenly we have an additional list of links available in the footer. Sure, this is implementation of that particular custom footer, but the whole point of the story is that now, anywhere within this tenant, so if I now move to any other site, for example, a communication site within that particular tenant, because we use the centrally or globally deployed tenant option, the same extension is available here. So the same extension is getting rendered in all of the sites within this tenant. So you can actually see the standardized links and all of that stuff. And if I actually click the my links here, you can absolutely see the links which I added on the other side as well being available on this side. So just to demonstrate a functionality together with the tenant-wide deployment. So this way, you're able to then force your headers, footers, widgets, and everything to be available within a tenant. Or you're able to say that within communication sites, all of the communication sites getting created on this tenant will have these functionalities, and all of the collaboration sites will have these following functionalities. And without any additional tricks, the stuff is getting visible. Cool? Cool. Excellent. Yay! Good. Moving on things. We still have plenty of time, but we still have plenty of things to go through and cool demos as well. But that's global extensions or tenant-wide deployment extensions, so you have a centralized control, again, to push customizations across all of the sites. That was around extensions. We're looking into doing similar kind of things for web parts as well, because it might be that you have a web part which you don't want to have in every single site, but you want to have the web part in all of the communication sites. So we're looking into doing that one in phase two of the tenant-wide deployment options. So without, again, any additional things, you would be able to target your custom web parts to be available only on communication sites, together with all of the other options which we have in SharePoint framework. Now, the next thing which we're announcing is a SharePoint framework dynamic data. And this is slightly interesting. The terminology might feel slightly strange, but let me actually explain what it is. Technically, and I was asked not to say this in this way, but I'm gonna actually override that opinion. Technically, this is exactly the same thing what we announced a year ago in Build. Really? Well, a year ago in Build, we announced the WebPart to WebPart connections. Except this is much more than WebPart to WebPart connections, because with the dynamic data, the WebPart or SharePoint Framework extension can actually share information between the other components on a page, or you can able to access on the context of the page. So if you're getting rendered in a certain page in a site pages library, you're able to have a dependency on the page ID and the information on that page or the metadata on that page. Or if you are a header or header extension, you're able to detect that I'm getting actually rendered in a document library for a one item, and that item is getting selected. You get that context to your extension, and your extension can start behaving differently. So kind of WebPart to WebPart connections, but not that little, much more than that. So it will be much more powerful for you to take advantage in SharePoint Framework. Right now, initially, this is only supported in Codespace, but the UI layer and connections between the web parts, as an example, or the association between the web parts are coming later. So our UI eventually will be showing you if the web part is interested on an external data, what are the external information which is available, and you're able to find into that data, which will then change the behavior of the web part. So basically, it looks something like following. We have a one web part on the other side, which is saying, hey, by the way, I'm highly interested of certain events or certain actions and properties happening on a page. If something is happening, I need to react on that one. And whenever there's an extension on client-side web part, which is then raising an event, the SharePoint framework will take care of bypassing the information to the other side and those web parts which subscribe to that event. And this is basically means that you can then have, well, kind of like the classic WebPart to WebPart connections, you multi-selection of a list, you do something in a one WebPart, it reacts on another WebPart or an extension on a page. So you have a full flexibility on communicating between the components. So let's have a look on this one in practice as well. So, yes, we're on the right location. So let me actually jump to the, in here, let me jump to another location. This is actually just fine. I'm gonna actually create a new page on the modern site. Let's get rid of that one just for the sake of seeing this one in practice. And actually I'm in a wrong tenant. So let me actually go back on this tenant, which is the right tenant to show the demo. So let me create one page, a modern page. Let's call this, for example, dynamic data. And let's actually create two columns. Let's actually change that to be completely 50-50, so we can actually make that layout slightly nicer. And on the left side column, if I can write, I'm going to add a data source, dynamic data source. So this is a web part which is acting like a data source. I'm going to zoom in a second when I'm configuring this. And let's actually add a dynamic renderer. So this is a web part which will render the data which is getting exposed by external events. And then I'm going to add a third web part here, which is a dynamic data scanner, which is actually showing all of the dynamic data which is available within the context of the page. Now, let's actually have a look on how does this work in practice. So I'm going to modify the data renderer, and this one has two different properties. So right now in the slides, we were saying that we don't have a UI where we are able to tie in the web part or an extension between each other. So right now you can do this, but it requires some level of a code. And that's precisely the code what has been written in the examples here. Obviously, whenever we get this truly released, you will have a tutorials and examples available how to make things happen. But in this case, I'm going to actually select what kind of data this web part is interested. So it could be interested on something from a page context. So let's actually select the page context. And then we're able to see different elements which are available from the page context. So your web part could react on the site context, on a list context, on a list item context, and then start behaving differently based on what is getting presented, or the Azure AD information about the user. So that's also an option. Or you might have multiple web part pages, multiple web parts on a page, and in this case, and we have a web part which is exposing text input as a dynamic property for others to be potentially interested. And that was the other web part on a page. So now if I tie in this web part to that other web part, and let's actually publish the page. I'm not going to send a link to anybody on that one. We're able to see that connection getting rendered, between two different web parts. So here's the one web part where we have a text field, which is then actually the one which is getting exposed for other data sources or interested components in the page. And this is the other guy who's actually then rendering the data which is available for him to react on. Super simple, really rough demo, but the whole point is that if I now do something on this web part like hello build, you're able to see that that connection worked, and basically the SharePoint framework through all of the changes, what happened on another web part, to that other web part which was registered to be interested on that data. So whenever we get this one fully available, fully ready, there will be UIs. Basically, your web part can say that I'm, by the way, exposing list item. And then the other web part can be saying, hey, I will show details of a list item. And then are able to tie in them together or any other objects from that matter. The other thing here is the third web part, which I didn't quite explain that well. So let me quietly, slightly zoom here. So this right side web part is basically showing what kind of dynamic data is available on the normal page right now. We're looking into exposing this one as well, or exposing more and more data on that. For example, it is saying that the tenant ID is that, user ID is that, which we could use then to get access on graph information based on the user ID, so we could dynamically change the behavior of the web part. Or we're able to get information around the culture info or the list which is getting rendered. In this case, we're getting rendering a ID of this, well, that's the ID of the page, which is now getting rendered within this context. So your web part could, again, change the behavior based on selected item in a list as an example. Or if it's an extension rendered in header or footer, it could read the selected item in a list and then change the behavior based on that. So you have a lot of flexibility from that side. Good, let me actually get that one back in there, and let's flip back on the slides for a few slides, and let's talk about additional stuff which is coming out as well. Now, one of the things which was mentioned this morning in the keynote, it was briefly mentioned, but there was an interesting statement which the lady, I can't remember the lady's name, unfortunately, said, which was something like any customization in SharePoint is actually a Microsoft Teams customization. And that's where we're heading now in the future. So what it means is that we announce the SharePoint framework solutions as Microsoft Teams tabs. Technically, it's going to be a SharePoint framework web parts as a solutions in the Microsoft tabs. So the whole point of this one is that you write one customization or application as a web part. It can be, well, you write a solution and it can be exposed as a SharePoint framework web part or as a Microsoft Teams tab. And it will be exactly the same implementation which can be surfaced in both sites. And this is a journey which we now start together from SharePoint, together with SharePoint and Microsoft Teams, to kind of standardize the ways we are doing customizations in Office 365. Just gradually moving to the direction where we wouldn't have a countless ways of customizing from a UI perspective these things. Let's try to consolidate. Let's try to figure out if we could have Office 365 level app catalog, enterprise catalog, and Office 365 level standardized ways of doing customizations so that not every single solution and every single service have its own exposure and own ways of doing customization. And that makes a lot of sense because to implement, as an example, SharePoint framework web part once, you're able to expose that then directly and dynamically in Microsoft Teams as a actual solution. Not just the web part, not just the web page in the Teams tab. This is not what we're actually telling here. Now, what's good about this one is no doubt that SharePoint Framework has a pretty mature tooling. For example, the dynamic CDN hosting. So as long as you do the asset packaging, you don't have to worry about where the SharePoint Framework solution, JavaScript files and images and other assets are getting hosted. We'll host all of that for you automatically. You deploy through App Catalog, your stuff is getting hosted. You don't have to worry about CDN setups and everything else, which is the way, for example, in Microsoft Teams, you need to always first figure out where you're going to host the JavaScript file, and then you create the manifest file, point to that hosting location, and then you deploy the solution. By using the SharePoint Framework solution as a platform, all of that is getting automatically taken care of. And that's a really cool thing. So technically, what this one means, that if you have, in this case, for example, we have a legal matter web part, and this web part is, in this case, it is exposed in SharePoint site, but that web part could be just as well exposed as a application or as a tab in Microsoft Teams. And it is exactly the same web part. So we're moving to the direction where the Microsoft Teams will able, Microsoft Teams will basically go and call against the App Catalog in SharePoint site and say, hey, App Catalog in SharePoint, do you have any SharePoint Framework solutions which we could actually expose using as a tabs functionality in Microsoft Teams? And if there is, then Microsoft Teams will show them dynamically as an option, right, as a tab in Microsoft Teams site. So again, your customization developed once, but it can be surfaced in both sites. And that's a really great thing. Now, that's a really great thing for enterprise development. We are also looking doing this the other way around. And this, the enterprise development model, this model what you're seeing here, I'm going to do a live demo on this one. So this is coming relatively soon. It's coming soon. The next model is coming later. So we are obviously looking into doing this other direction as well. There's quite a cool ISV applications in Microsoft Teams side. So why wouldn't we actually surface those ISV applications as an option to SharePoint side? Where you, as a consumer of our platform, you choose how do you want to use SharePoint, how do you want to use Microsoft Teams, then we'll expose those applications in both sites. This is slightly far, more far away, and we'll start with the enterprise story, but at some point, we'll get the ISP application hosted and provided from Teams side, also visible in the SharePoint side in here. And that's a super cool thing. So we finally have, or heading to the direction where we have a one way of doing customizations for two different applications. Let's have a live demo on this one, because this is quite cool stuff. So before we go to the live demo, I forgot about this one slide. Quickly explaining that in the SharePoint side, obviously, what it means is that in the SharePoint framework, we have, for example, the asset packaging and all of that one, and additional permissions. We have the graph access. We have all of these additional goodies in SharePoint framework, which your solution can take advantage. We'll, for example, host your stuff automatically in Office 365 CDN for free. So you don't have to worry about what's the URL. You don't have to worry about where it's getting hosted. It is a web part built using SharePoint framework, or how would I put it? It's a solution, and one way of hosting that solution is a SharePoint framework web part. Other way of hosting the solution is a Microsoft tab. But we'll take care of, on a SharePoint side, fully the hosting, and then you're able to still get that application exposed in the Microsoft Teams sites, and you'll get all of the benefits from the SharePoint side as well. Because when you think about it, I don't know how many of you have realized, but every single Microsoft Teams Teams is part of Office 365 Crew, and every single Office 365 Crew has a SharePoint side as well. So it's one-to-one connection anyway between all of those things. You create a Teams, you get a SharePoint side, you get a Crew, and all of that stuff. We're finally getting to the more consolidated model. So let's have a look on this one in practice. So flipping back on my demo machine, and which tenant will kind of use the other tenant. So let me actually get in here. I'm in the right tenant, and this is certainly the right location. So in here, am I actually in the right location? No, I'm not. So let me actually go to the root of this tenant. So here we go. So this application, this is a custom solution, which is just surfacing functionalities from this particular list, which is called legal matters. The list itself and the fact that it's surfacing information which is in a list isn't actually that interesting. It could be just as well something which is surfacing data from Cosmos DB or surfacing data from Azure API. It doesn't really matter. In this case, the solution itself, it is actually surfacing data from this list in a SharePoint. So now, the web part itself is actually hosted, and let me actually find that. Because I didn't have that one obviously open, that would have been way too smart. Let me actually get that one from here and get it open from the right location. So here. Here we have a web part which is hosted on SharePoint site. So this is actual custom web part. And let me show you that it's a custom web part. So I can actually boot the web page in edit mode. And it's a web part which supports following configuration. So we're able to configure that web part to filter the list of libraries or legal matters based on particular user. So in my case, as an example, I can say that, well, wherever I'm being the owner, filter the list of items to those which are assigned for me, or show all of the items which are legal matters from the legal matters backend, whatever the backend is. In this case, the backend is being a SharePoint list. Again, doesn't really matter that it's a SharePoint list, but it's a custom web port. Now, in this case, what's really cool, I can actually go and then start my, let's actually go to the portal, and let's go to the Teams site. So we're able to see this one in practice. And Teams. So I'm going to go to the Teams behind of this particular tenant. And it's relatively small Teams because this is a demo tenant. But in the development, if I'm going to go to the development, we actually have a general channel. And let me actually get rid of this one because and so I'm going to actually walk this through the installation as well. So in the general channel or in the Teams inside, if I go to the tab selection, I will see all of the different customizations which are available in that particular Microsoft Teams installation. And that's the ISV solutions, potentially the upcoming enterprise solutions, which was announced on Monday as well, so the enterprise catalog for Teams. But you will also see, in this case, our legal matters web part to be available in here. Currently, the views are not dynamically showing yet everything from my app catalog. They will at certain point when this one is going to go live. But I'm going to select my legal matters application. And the legal matter application had the one property in property pane, which you could actually configure. In the same way, when you're installing this application, you're able to, again, configure that application in the Microsoft Teams tab. And in the same way, and you will see all of the properties which are part of the web part in SharePoint Framework, because it is the same application. So now I can say that it's filtered on current user or not being filtered on current user. Let's not filter on current user, it doesn't really matter. I can click Apply and click Save, and that's going to actually then create the new tab and showing that application, which is actually a SharePoint Framework web part, which is dynamically hosted in SharePoint site. Isn't that cool? Woohoo! Now, just to show that this is real stuff, let me actually do this. So where's my root list? There's the root list. So let me put that one there. So here's my rule list on left side. And where's my Teams? There's my Teams application in here. I can't get rid of that one, which is slightly weird. It's pretty small on the screen, but let's see. The sworn declaration owned by Luca is in a pending status of entry, right? If I go to sworn declaration in here, we can absolutely modify this one. So just to show you that it's the live connection between the things and the raw data on the background, if we modify this one to be, what do we want to do? We want to do that it's status being closed, saving, and voila, the status was being changed to closed on this side as well. So it is a live connection between the data, which is in this case the backend being on a SharePoint site. And in this case, we also used Socket IO behind of the scenes to make all of this communication happen, which is something which will be available in SharePoint Framework well, not in the SharePoint framework technically, but part of the SharePoint platform relatively soon, documented for you to take advantage as well. But that's pretty cool, isn't it? Implement once, host the same thing in two different environments, so you don't actually have to worry about how to then transform the web part to be available and exposed using the Teams. It is actually exactly the same customization. Now, if you're wondering how do we make this happen, and can we actually transform existing web parts immediately to be this one, whenever this one will be available for you to preview, you will obviously need to upgrade your existing web parts to the latest SharePoint framework packages and version, but it doesn't require pretty much anything more than that. The more native web part you're able to then flip in the package solution or in the manifest, that web part to be supported as a tab in a Microsoft Teams, and then voila, it will be exposed in Microsoft Teams as one of the options to be available. So we're trying to make this as easy as for you to take advantage. So super cool. Cool. Let me go back on the slides. We still have some time to talk about other stuff which we are doing. There's one more small announcement which I want to quickly talk about. We're not going to demo that, unfortunately, in here. We need to wait for SharePoint Framework Conference, which is coming in 2 weeks. But there is a super cool large Heroes demo end-to-end solution coming up from our side, which is an open source SharePoint portal reference solution for modern SharePoint experiences. So what we actually are doing, that's starting from pretty soon, this is so close, I actually showed a lot of the web parts already today from the solution, but we don't have the, let's say, it doesn't look yet as wonderful as it will be in 2 weeks. But within a few weeks, we'll have an open source solution available in GitHub for you to take advantage. This is not meant to compete with anybody. This is meant to be a reference solution showing you how to build a proper modern SharePoint experience with more than 10 web parts, more than 5 SharePoint framework extensions, tied indicator with site designs, automatic provisioning initially using PowerShell. By Ignite, our target is actually have a custom website available as a multi-tenant application somewhere in Azure hosted, where you can actually sign in using your tenant administrator permissions and say, provision me a demo. Permission me a demo to this tenant, and voila, we'll get the site collections available. It's 6 different site collections, hub sites and everything else associated between each other, custom branding, web parts in bright places, modern pages, and all of that. The whole point of this one is to make sure that people understand, first of all, what can be done with modern SharePoint. We will keep on evolving this open source hero solution as we release more and more capabilities. So by Ignite, it is again evolving to a following step to include whatever we will be announcing in Ignite. So you can easily use this demo solution then whenever you need to go to somebody else, if you are, let's say, a consultant, and you have a pre-sales gig going tomorrow, and you need to demonstrate what is a modern SharePoint. Well, sign into the website or pull down the latest version from GitHub, execute the PowerShell against your tenant, your demo is good to go. Our vision around this one is by the self-service site and website, we'll eventually have and support you to upload images and also theme files, so you can actually even modify the outcome based on your business requirements. Again, not meant to compete with our partners, rather to show what's possible. If you want to take this and build your business and money and sell some of these things as part of your story, absolutely fine as well. This is MIT-licensed reference solution for you to take granted. If you want to contribute back, please do. That's more than welcome, but you don't have to. Again, up to you, and do you want to help the other people in the community to be successful. The key point, what we want to do with this one, really, like mentioned, is to tell people what can be done in the modern experiences. And isn't really that difficult. And also have a set of reliable web parts which you can actually use on your day-to-day life if needed, which will be then evolved and together with community moving forward. So super cool stuff. I'm not going to demo that today. Like mentioned, I'm really conscious about the time. And this will be available in SBC, which will happen on 20th of May. 21st of May is the Monday in Las Vegas. You will definitely see blog posts and announcements when this one is available. Now, quickly, a few summary slides. So, roadmap for calendar year 18. And I can't see that far. It's too small. I need to get in here, so I need to can't remember everything, so I don't lie to you, or the recording, or the streaming. So obviously, during this spring, we've done GA for ALM APIs, asset packaging, tenant properties, site collection app catalog. Those are all GA'd, generally available in SharePoint Online. Native graph access for SharePoint framework went preview on mid-February. Now, some of the people might hope and crossing their fingers that please be ready for production within starting from SPC and starting from May, but unfortunately we need to delay the GA of this one, so we're looking into having that one ready, hopefully, well, it will be definitely ready by Ignite, but we can't yet to release a production-ready support for that one. There's certain things which we still need to figure out. The enterprise solution from SharePoint to Microsoft Teams, so exposing our web parts in Microsoft Teams coming in summer and fall. ISV solutions from Microsoft Teams to SharePoint, the upside down, so ISV solution from Microsoft Teams exposed in SharePoint, targeted to be released in Ignite as well. We can't promise, but we're targeted to release. That's our roadmap. We're looking into doing that. Global deployment for SharePoint framework, planned to go for preview pretty soon in May, June, hopefully. I was just chatting with the engineer that we're pushing that one forward to our MSIT already for testing. Dynamic data for SharePoint framework components, that was the association between the web parts, coming to preview also relatively soon, within a few weeks, rather weeks than months, but I wouldn't say yet days. And then SharePoint framework at SharePoint 2019. I know that we will announce a day for SharePoint Framework 2019 availability in SPC. I cannot announce that day right now, or somebody will not be happy. But we'll say that date in SharePoint conference in Las Vegas in 2 weeks. And in part of that SharePoint Framework 2019, it will have a native modern experiences across all of the different site types. So your extensions, if you build something in SharePoint Framework, for example, SharePoint Framework 1.4.1 as an example, it will work both in SharePoint Online and in also in SharePoint 2019. So SharePoint 2019 will GA later this year, or that's now currently the plan. Who knows, it might be delayed still, but I don't think so. Typically, that seems to be the theme. We always release, it's SharePoint 2019, so we're gonna release that in 2018, right? Because it always happens that way for some reason. Somebody, I don't know. Anyway. Now, more details and actual dates for many of these things from a functionality perspective are coming in SharePoint conference in 18. One of the things what somebody asked me when I showed the slides internally in engineering, there's an API and dev support for numerous out-of-the-box features. Now, what does that mean? We are right now in build, and I actually represent the developer experiences in SharePoint Online. There's, however, a lot of native functional experiences in SharePoint Online as well, like site design, site script, column formatting, a lot of other stuff. And those have also a developer story, but it's not actually owned by us. So a lot of those things, for example, what are the new actions for site designs and site scripts, are more features rather than dev APIs. And that's why they will be talked about in SharePoint Conference 18 within 2 weeks in Las Vegas. So there will be more functional announcements coming up in Las Vegas on top of this one, and we'll release absolutely blog post and all of that when we get everything announced. If you're interested on SharePoint Dev Community, please have a look on our SharePoint PMP, SharePoint Dev PMP, AKMS SharePoint PMP, SPPMP, that is our community pages. We do have a monthly community calls. We do have bi-weekly SharePoint Framework community calls, live community demos, always the latest updates on a roadmap. So there's plenty of stuff. It's a list of all of our open source projects, the channels, how to reach on us, and all of that. So SharePoint has the biggest and most vibrant development community across the Office 365. Sure, Graph community is actually catching up super fast, which is great because Graph APIs are behind of the SharePoint as well. That's how it should be. It is the same Office 365 family in the end. But have a look on what we are having. If you're interested in contributing, please do. If you want to just consume, that's fine as well. That's why it's there for you to take advantage. But that's all what I'm going to actually do today. We can do a few Q&A if there's any open questions. We do have 5 minutes officially on time. This is like first time ever I'm on time. If there's anybody who wants to have their question recorded. If there's not, thank you for participating on the last session of the day, and hopefully that was exciting. Thank you.